This is Job Corps, a one-hour program about Job Corps in general and Tongue Point Job Corps Center in particular. This program is written and reported by the students themselves. We are in our seventh year. Tonight we have stories about intramurals, the diversity luncheon, the clothesline project, casino night, the student newspaper, a follow-up on the student leadership Washington, D.C. experience, and our regular features. All this on tonight's edition of This is Job Corps. In the studio, we have student reporters Nicole Rahonic, Ellie Johnson, Sherelle Briggs, and Caleb Philbin. Student reporter Jordan Gallagher also contributed to this program. Also in the studio is engineer Terry Wilson, co-producer of this program, and Tongue Point Business and Community Liaison Tita Montero. Let's get started. Students and staff on center recently participated in the Clothesline Project. Ellie has this story.
This month, students have been working on the Clothesline Project. It is a program started in Cape Cod, Massachusetts in 1990 to address the issues of violence against women. Women decorate t-shirts as a way to express their emotions of being affected by violence. They hang the shirts on the clothesline to be viewed by others as testimony to the problem of violence against women. The Clothesline Project honors women survivors as well as victims of intimate violence. Any woman who has experienced such violence at any time in her life is encouraged to come forward and design a shirt. So, students have been going to the art room to make shirts. They have been hanging them up in the rec hall. There is a huge variety of markers, paints, and stencils for students to use and choose from. We have about 30 shirts hanging up on the clothesline. Some of our favorites were, start loving yourself. True love doesn't hurt. Never compromise your happiness for someone else's. And words are like a tube of toothpaste. Once they come out, they can't be taken back. It's a cool project, and I even made one for one of my instructors. Here are some statistics about domestic violence. One out of two women will be in a violent relationship. Every single minute of every day, more than one woman is raped in the USA. Before the age of 18, one of three girls and one out of five boys will be victims of incest or sexual assault. Only about half of domestic violence incidents are reported to police. 64% of women reported being raped, physically assaulted, or stalked since the age of 18 were victimized by someone they knew. One out of every six American women have been the victim of attempted or completed rape in their lifetime. Females ages 12 to 24 are at the greatest risk for experiencing a rape or sexual assault. 4 million women and girls are trafficked annually. Boys who witness their father's violence are 10 times more likely to engage in spouse abuse in later adulthood. So-called honor killings take the lives of thousands of young women every year, mainly in North Africa, Western Asia, and parts of South Asia. In Zimbabwe, domestic violence accounts for more than 60% of murder cases that go through the high courts in Harare.
Thank you, Ellie. That's especially relevant for our student and staff population on center. We work with 16 to 24-year-olds, and I think it's an important opportunity for them to share. We have Nicole, Sherelle, and Caleb here to talk about our student newsletter, the Tongue Point Times. Nicole?
Well, I just found out about 3 weeks ago that Job Corps has their own newspaper. And once I heard about it, I started asking around, and surprisingly, not very many people had heard about it. It's called the Tongue Point Times, and it's fairly new. They're in their fifth edition, and it'll be coming out on the 31st of this month. It's run by one of Tongue Point's finance and business instructors, Erica Bruni. The team she manages consists of strictly Tongue Point students who do all of the writing and editing, which seems to be a lot of work for a small group, but it counts for a leadership position. Last Wednesday was my first time attending one of their meetings. I originally walked through the door just to observe the process, gather some information, and see if I was interested, but I walked out of there as a team member. I brought two other team members here to the studio to talk a bit about it in case our audience was interested. The names are Caleb Philbin and Sherelle Briggs. So my first question for you guys, what is the purpose of the newspaper?
I believe the purpose of Tongue Point Times is to keep staff and students alike up to date on everything from center activities to politics, world news, and sports. It's a way to reach out to kids and say, hey, there's more to life than the drama that you're dealing with on center. And I'd like to think that staff members get something out of it too. At the very least, I'd like to think they find some humor in it.
I also believe that it's there. I also like to believe that it's there to help students understand what's going on in our community and not just Job Corps. You know, we talk about our story as well. We talk about different topics such as the entertainment, horoscopes, comics, recipes. Like, every month we have a ramen, top ramen noodles recipe, and they have some amazing types of ways to cook top ramen. It's unbelievable. Like, I've never knew you could make top ramen with chocolate, like chocolate syrup. Sounds different, but yeah, it's unique. We have a body and mind section column in there. Also, and it's basically about, let's talk about sex, Ask Lebowski. It's an advice column in there also, and I'm starting the advice column.
Caleb, what section do you write for?
Within the Tongue Point Time, there exists a community, a place where people come together and brainstorm ideas, share thoughts on articles and current issues. My role within this community is to find the best current world news story that most affects life for the people all around us. I like to think I'm doing some good by keeping people up on center. I like to think I'm doing some good by keeping people on center connected to the outside world, because so often we get tangled up in life on center that we forget that there's a bigger picture than just Tongue Point. On the flip side of that, I cover sports. I feel in doing this, it creates a sort of yin-yang atmosphere that brings a balance to the paper.
So you just discussed some of the ways that the students benefit from the newspaper, but what are some of the ways you think that the community can benefit from Tongue Point Times?
As far as the community goes in the ways they can benefit, I believe, us reaching out into the community and kind of interviewing people about what's going on in the community is probably the biggest way to benefit.
Coming here to the radio is a good way to promote the newspaper, obviously, but what are some of the other ways that you guys plan to promote it in the future?
As far as promotional goals go, I hope to personally get out into Astoria and cover some local stories, kind of tie my articles all together with the common ground of what the community is up to. By doing this, I hope to achieve some kind of spotlight that will speak to people and draw them closer to Tongue Point Times and Job Corps as a whole.
Well, thanks for talking with us, and I look forward to working with the two of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I'd like to add a few comments about the Tongue Point Times. First of all, the last issue that came out had a wonderful little just one corner featuring a restaurant where the food is inexpensive. It's the one of the Chinese restaurants in town. And that was a great column. It's a way to promote some business from our students to some of the restaurants in town and some of the businesses. So I thought that was really neat. I typically send copies of the Tongue Point Times, the digital copies, to our corporation, Management Training Corporation. I send it up to our congressmen and our senators so they can see what we're doing. And whenever I have an event, whenever I'm doing a presentation, I give it out. Now, the last time I did that was at the Friends of the Columbia River Maritime Museum. And one of the ladies was reading through it, and she brought it up to me, and she said, "Who wrote this column?" And it was, there was a byline on it that was like a pseudonym. So I didn't know the student's name. And I said, "Well, I don't know exactly who." And she says, are you sure this was written by a student?" I said, "Yes, everything's written by a student." She says, "This is so well written. I can't believe it. This is terrific." She was just blown away. And the other comment I would hope is that with the outreach into looking for stories in Astoria, you go further in Clatsop County, go to Seaside. Students are in Seaside a lot, that kind of thing, because it's a way to bring the community back into Tongue Point.
Thank you. And I know the chocolate ramen recipe was mentioned. And as far as entertainment value, Caleb, that definitely was very entertaining. I don't think I'm brave enough to try it, though. So if anybody tries it, report back. Let me know. Last month, Ellie, along with students Emily Hughes and Marcos Rincon, reported on their leadership trip to Washington, D.C. Ellie has an update.
So last month I was here with Emily and Marcos, and we talked about the Washington, D.C. trip. Part of the responsibility of going was to come back and share information with other students on center. Every day this week, we are doing presentations for all the students and a lot of the staff members. It has been a lot of work getting ready and gathering information that has been that will benefit the students and keep them entertained and interested. Some of the things we are talking about in our presentation are the MTC9, which are the list of skills and qualifications that effective leaders should have. For example, understand and share the big picture, know your center's mission, values, and visions, act with integrity, be a team builder, demonstrate effective leadership skills, how to develop and empower others, encourage initiative and new ideas, respect others, and use effective communication skills. We are playing a personality game called The True Colors to help them understand themselves better and give them tools to work more effectively with others. There are four colors: orange, gold, blue, and green. The orange personality is impulsive, needs variation, exciting and lighthearted, spontaneous, full of fun, and out-of-the-box thinker. Gold is responsible, hates wasting time, has strong work ethic, is punctual, predictable, values tradition, believes there should be rules and they should always be followed. And they're always prepared. People with the blue personality style are romantic and future-oriented, empathetic, seeks harmony with inner self, needs life of significance, and likes to people watch. People with the green personality usually love intelligence, are competent, perfectionists, obsessed with learning, have a compulsion to improve. They hate errors in logic and are oblivious to other people's emotions. And they like precise and exactness. Once people understand themselves better, they can understand others better and become more effective and successful. We are talking about the MTC 360. It is designed to give students more opportunities for success on center after they complete. The MTC focuses on teaching students soft skills like ways to interview effectively, use technology, use time management, have effective communication, set goals, and how to make a career plan. Most of these opportunities will be provided outside students' regular training day. Some other information we are including is the power of social media. How nowadays 90% of employers check their job applications on social sites. So what you post on social media and blogs can determine whether you get a job. Some companies even hire people just to surf social sites to check out their applications that employees send in. We are also telling them about the meeting that we had with our Oregon congressmen and senators and the places that we toured while we were in Washington. All of the students who have seen our presentation so far have really enjoyed it. What seems to have really stuck with them are the color personalities. I can walk up to people and ask them, "Hey, what's your color?" And they know exactly what I'm talking about. Overall, even though this whole week has been somewhat repetitious from giving the same presentation every day, I feel that the information that we really relayed to the student body was important and beneficial to people on center. I am glad that I could help educate students about the different things we learned at the MTC conference. Not only was this beneficial for the students, but it has also given me a good opportunity to improve my public speaking and presentation skills.
And she's done a very good job. Ellie, what is your color?
My color is green.
And we don't believe it, do we?
No one believes it.
How about you, Coco? What's your color?
My color is orange, but I'm a lot green, too.
Okay. And Caleb, what was your color?
I'm very much an orange person, very adventurous and spontaneous and impulsive.
Right. So as you get to know your own colors better and you get to know other people's colors, you'll be able to figure out how to work with them better, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. Good deal. You know, the other thing that Ellie and Emily and Marcos are doing is that they're making this presentation to our community relations luncheon. 4 to 6 times a year, I host a community relations lunch. It's a time that I invite leaders and partners in the community to enjoy lunch prepared by our culinary students, and they get to meet our students. Every table full of community members has a student as a table host. So they get to meet a student, they get to talk with them, learn what they're up to, and the community members really like this. In addition, at every one of the lunches, we have a presentation, we have discussion, and we have a tour so that anyone who wants to can be taken around the center, see what's going on, and that kind of thing. So Ellie, Emily, and Marcos shared a condensed version, I would say, of the presentation they made to the students at the community relations lunch, which took place on Friday. And there's good attendance at these lunches. I think they got some very good feedback about it, and certainly helps people to understand better all of the different opportunities that our students are taking advantage of and all of the different things that they are learning and the value of Job Corps in this community.
Thank you for following up, Ellie. I really think it's impressive that you get to share your experience with the rest of our student population, and hopefully that will encourage some of them to apply for the next trip. So next up, we have Coco's interviews and a report about our intramurals.
The pressure was on for this season's intramural basketball players as each team fought to make it to their championship game. Residence 1 was in it to win it, Residence 2 was competing to maintain their place as championship winners, and the players of Residence 3 were determined to live up to their reputation. But ultimately, it was Residence 4 who ended the season with the trophy. I live in Residence 4, and I've been at every game this season cheering them on, so when I found out I would be covering the story for the championship game, I was really hoping I was going to be able to interview them as the winning team, and I did. So tonight, we had the championship game of the intramural basketball, Res 4 versus Res 2. Res 4, we won, so I'm sitting here with Dave, the RLS of Res 4, and Buck, the RA of Res 4, and I just want to see how they feel about it. So, Dave, why don't you go first?
They did it! Sorry, I lost my voice from all the yelling and screaming, and I'm sweating because I'm all the jumping and dancing around. It's fantastic. I mean, this is proof right here. Practice makes perfect. Every player got better and better as the season went on. And I saw their dedication, the diligence, and it really paid off for them. I mean, this is proof tonight. I'm more than proud of them. I was choking up tears at the end there because they've really put forth the work and the effort, and I'm proud of each and every one of them. And I'm proud of our fans, too. They really came out tonight. So I want to give a shout-out to them as well. Thank you.
All right, so that was Dave, the resident living supervisor. And now, here we are talking with Buck. Buck, how did you feel about it?
I was more proud than anything. They gave 100% with everything they did. We had the philosophy of train like we play like we train. We trained hard, so we played hard. And we weren't going to go out there without giving 100%, and they did, and they won it. And I'm very proud.
Yeah.
When we were on the court, I saw you jumping around as well. You were just pumped. You're probably more pumped than the players. So what does this win mean to you?
Well, it's really fun watching them have fun. It brings a tear to your eye when they win it all, of course. You know, you play with them and coach them for so long, and it just means everything. Every time we win a championship, it just means the world.
All right, so there it is, and I will be interviewing the rest of our players. They are currently in the process of doing a little parade, a little victory walk around center. Everybody's real hyped, and I think I'm pretty excited because I am from Res 4, so I was rooting for them. Dave, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I forgot two things. Sorry, I'm all excited and jittery. But anyways, I do want to add, too, that there's always been this rivalry. And for every sport, every year, it seems like, since I've been at Tongue Point Job Corps, against Res 4 and Res 2. And I don't want to take anything away from Res 2. I mean, they had the best record during the season. And they played very well tonight, obviously. And it was the best sportsmanship I've seen since we played all season together this game. And I want to thank the coaches, too. I thought it was kind of funny that Kevin Jensen, who's our on-call RA, who helped coach the team with Buck, but then when one of my team members came back from a leave, he couldn't work, but tonight he was able to cover for RA, and it was the perfect mold, and it all came together. So I'm really proud of you guys. Thank you.
It all came together. We were, it's been kind of a tough season for us, but we've stayed up, and now, it was all worth it. We won the championship, and I think everyone's pretty excited. All right. Okay, so here we are with Kevin as well. Kevin, you just made it through the door. So I know you're an RA here at Res 4, sure. And you have been extremely excited too throughout the season. You've made it to almost every game,
yeah.
And you actually got a chance to ref some of the game.
Uh-huh.
First, I want to ask you, how hard was that to ref the game between Res 4 and our challengers? How did you feel about that?
Personally, I can tell you that was kind of difficult because you feel like you're in a position where you don't want to make a bad call, but you don't want to feel like you're making all the calls for one team or the other. So I try to be as good of a ref as I could be and call both games as fairly down the middle as I possibly could. But it was a lot of pressure, and preferably my first passion was to coach. I'd rather help coach because I couldn't do both at the same time. I couldn't be a ref and coach because it would just look like too much favoritism for one team. So I decided to pull myself away from the reffing, and I'm glad they found two really good, capable referees that did an outstanding job. And I was just happy with the coaching because I feel like with my personal experience, I had more knowledge and some skills I wanted to pass on to some of the players as a coach rather than being a referee.
You are a coach. You and Buck, I believe, you guys kind of coach side by side.
Well, in my experience helping Buck coach, I tried to instill some of the drills and some of the plays and stuff that I learned as I've played basketball with my experience. I played in a lot of different places, including the time I was a student here at Job Corps. I played on our varsity basketball team here. And when we were doing the practices, I want to make sure we ran the drills that had helped me and the time I played so that our players here could gain some more knowledge and expertise and experience. And I figured that would carry over and help them when we got to game time, and it looked to me, playing today's championship game and the other games, that as we started the season, our team got progressively better because we instilled in them all the basically the components of a winning team, all the drills and everything during practice that would help them out on the court when they were taking the floor to play their games. And to me, I think that it really helped because I saw our guys go from a certain level, and I seen them just reach to an even higher level as the season went on, extremely high. Their performance was, they were peaking at a really high performance level as the games progressed, and I saw a great attitude, a good winning experience. I saw a great group of players out there and a good group of guys who played really well together. So to me, that's what I tried to instill in them was teamwork, good sportsmanship, all-out effort, and doing the best that you possibly can do out there. And that's all I would ever expect from anybody.
Well, it's definitely worthwhile because we won the championship game. Buck, is there anything that you wanted to add on some of the things that you taught some of the players that you think benefited you guys?
Yes, Nicole, you did an outstanding job with the note-taking. It really helped us get the outside view of what we needed to work on. We knew who needed to step up a little bit more, who needed to work on screens, their shots, so we could take that to the practices so we can do better in the next game, and I really appreciate your help.
Thanks, Buck.
You're welcome.
And I'm glad to be part of the team. And
you did a great job for us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you
for your time. It was great to have you out there. We appreciated the help, and like I said, that helped us out. Having the practices, having all the great group of guys, a great group of players show up, and then just being able to be out there and pass along anything that I've ever been able to learn, any of my knowledge or experience to the players, to me, that made it all worthwhile.
So I just got finished with an interview with one Zach, and now we're on to the next Zach, Big Zach, as we call him. His real name is Zach Cantabarros. He's kind of found his position on the team as the team leader. And Zach, I know that we have a student recognition board here at Res 4, and you're actually up there. You've been up there for a few weeks now, just congratulating you on how well of a team leader you've been, and that you actually says that you are going to take us to the championship. You did. You've kind of been known as the force, as so it says on there, of a team. So I would just like to ask you, first of all, what does it feel like to win?
It feels, I have one word, it's just priceless. And it's just that feeling you get when you know you accomplished something good, and just like the camaraderie and the team chemistry is just real good. And I'm just real proud of my team.
As far as the chemistry goes, I mean, we need to ask you guys, because throughout the season you guys have had amazing plays, and I was always wondering, is that come naturally? Is that just something that you guys just know each other really well? You guys are all really good friends, or do you guys actually practice that, or how do you go about that?
Well, we're all really good friends already, so like we already got that chemistry with each other. We don't really practice offensive plays. Our mentality is defensive, win the game. So every practice is we concentrate on defense. So during the game, we kind of develop that that chemistry with each other, and it just comes naturally, like flows, and that's how we do that.
So out of all the players, how do you think you found your spot as the team leader?
Probably because I've been here the longest, and I've played in other like championship games and probably the most basketball games on center. So I just kind of fell into that role, and I'm just real proud of my guys. Real proud of them. They did real good. We practice hard. We train hard every week. We have practice, and I just know that they really wanted this. And
out of all the things, all the accomplishments this season, what would you say is the most important, besides obviously winning the championship?
Just how the team grew together. And from the first game to the championship game, everybody improved their game, and that's the biggest accomplishment. Like, everybody stepped it up, and I didn't play my best game in the championship, and my team really stepped it up, and we got it together.
I know there were a few players that kind of shined. You were definitely one of them. I know in previous games, you definitely stood out, and you stood out this game too, but you definitely stood out in other games. You've made a lot of points. Do you happen to know how many points you've scored this season?
I don't know exactly how much points I scored. Like you said, the board says I scored the most out of all the reses, but like, I just look at it as like not an individual thing, because I can't do it on my teammates. Like, I can't get the openings. I need the screens. We need to work together, and just so happens I got the most points.
Well, you're definitely an asset to the team, and I'm proud of you guys, and I enjoyed watching you and kind of being your cheerleader. So congratulations on your win. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I'd just like to say I'm real proud of my guys. I'm real proud of them. They deserve the win, and we worked hard for it, and I'm real happy we came out with the victory.
All right. Well, thanks for talking with me, Zach. We are going to move on to Wade Naki Naki. Wade Naki. He's also a player on the team. He's done quite a bit. He's been kind of known for his aggressiveness on the team. I've seen you quite frustrated throughout the season. Even though we've done great, there's been some challenges with certain teams. So do you want to discuss some of those challenges?
Basically, the challenges with certain teams wasn't the challenge of that team. It was basically the more mentality that I had. It was not putting it right on the spot. It was basically just fundamentals that wasn't there that I built up throughout the season. And in the past two games, I've progressed a lot, thanks to all the help that the team gave me. Zach was a big one. The rest of the team really kept me going, kept that fire in my back to keep pushing along and just forget about everything and keep moving another day.
Yeah, you've definitely progressed. I've noticed that. You too have also made a lot of points for the team. You've been a great asset. And I guess my question for you is, being that you seem so passionate out there, where does that passion come from?
Passion. Wow. Good one. You know, in everything I do, can never be satisfied with myself. I always like progress more. I have a lot of passion in everything I do. I'll put my 110% into everything. And without the team, I don't think I could have got to where I am today. And I really thank them a lot. Like I said, without that team, none of us is anything. That's all I have to say about it. It's a feeling that you can't describe. It's that feeling that burns you up so much that it's too good to explain. It's priceless.
Priceless. That's the word that you both have used tonight, priceless.
Let's say one more thing. You know what? We thank our players. We thank the coaches. We thank everybody for coming out. All the people that came out to res for that supported us. Even the people that came out from different reses to support us. Hats off to you guys. Hats off to res too. You guys played a really tough game tonight. You guys keep your guys head up. You guys did real good. And res for, congratulations, champs.
Look forward to next season.
Last week, we were fortunate to celebrate diversity with our students who prepared an Asian menu for lunch. Ellie has the details.
So, for our diversity lunch, we had Asian food. And the main dish was a chicken green curry. It was made with bamboo shoots, broccoli, and green beans served on white rice. There was a lotus root salad made with lotus root, carrots, daikon, mint, cilantro, and roasted peanuts that we actually roasted ourselves. The pork and shrimp was optional, and we also served it with French shrimp chips. For an appetizer, we had Vietnamese Buddhist vegan spring rolls. It was made with lettuce, vermicelli noodles, and Yukon potato tofu. We also had a delicious pork wonton soup made with pork stock, bok choy, shiitake mushrooms, and snow peas. For dessert, they served green tea ice cream and an Asian cookie wafer, and it was so good.
It was absolutely delicious. The thing that is really wonderful about our diversity lunches, which we have every month, is that the students suggest what is to be served, and then the students of the different ethnicities get together with Jean and the dining hall staff, and they are the main people for preparing the food. So when I saw Asian, the first thing is, oh, maybe Chinese food. So having Thai food and Vietnamese food was such a treat. And for me personally, I am a shrimp chip junkie. I love shrimp chips. So that was the most wonderful surprise. But everything was absolutely delicious.
We have this report on our casino night by Jordan.
Yeah. All right, this is Jordan Gallagher. It is Saturday. We are doing casino night right now. And I'm talking to four very high rollers, all seamanship people, pretty good poker players. All right, we're going to start off with Zach Zubich right here. All right, now what games did you play and how did you come out?
I played pretty much all the games besides the dice game. I didn't really like the dice game. It wasn't real crap. I ended up winning 25 Gs. I
started 25 Gs, oh my God.
I started off with 5, and I just worked my way up all the way to the top. I even loaned money out and still came up on top. And I'm loving life right now. I'm up. I'm ready to party. I'm ready to go to the club. And
right,
I'm going to Disneyland.
He's going to Disneyland, folks. All right, we got Sean Big Bunny Barker right here. Let's see how he came out in the Texas Hold'em game.
All right, so first Texas Hold'em, I went broke, overplayed the Ace King, and then I got a loan from my big daddy Warbucks Zubich over here, and I turned that 500 into 16,000, and now we're going to go party and hopefully make some bad decisions.
They're just joking. And we have Eric right here. Eric must be one of the top high rollers. See how much he came out with?
$0.
Look at that, folks. Some people just don't know how to gamble. They don't know how to hold them, when to fold them, when to walk away. Right. I am here again with Mr. Zach Zubich, and he has just come out of the bullpen. Mr. Zubich, what have you bought?
With my winnings, I bought a family-sized version of Sour Patch Watermelon Kids.
All right, that sounds good. That sounds good. Now, did you cash everything out on this?
Yes, it didn't go by how much money you had, how much stuff you could get. It went by how much money you had and what pick you got to pick what stuff you wanted.
Those are strange rules, but it seems to be clear that you've picked out something pretty worthy.
Yes, I was third in line, and that's what I picked.
All right, that's Mr. Zubich. We're going to go back into the bullpen and see who we can drag out. I'm standing here with Mr. Eric Cook, and he's just cashed in his money ticket. All right, Mr. Cook, what have you just purchased, and what was running through your mind when you bought that?
I just got a $20 gift card to Fred Meyers, and I figured I could get $20 worth of stuff for Fred Meyers.
All right, so you see, folks, he had $31,000 full of fake money, and he has now $20 of American cash. That's how we do it in the fake game of gambling.
We do hold casino nights at least twice a year as part of our recreation program. Staff from various departments on center act as dealers. It's a great opportunity for staff and students to interact. Prizes are provided by recreation. And there were enough prizes for everyone to win, even if they had a zero balance at the end of the two-hour event. It's always a lot of fun, and as you can hear from the noise, there's always a great turnout. A regular feature recognizes our students of the month. Ellie and Coco have these.
This student arrived at Tongue Point Job Corps Center on February 2, 2010 and began training in home health aid. Upon completion, she enrolled at Clatsop Community College through the Advanced Career Training Program. While in home health aid, she was an amazing student, hardworking, trustworthy, always helping out other students. Her workplace relationships were impeccable, and she continued to model the career success standards in her daily training. She always helped out newer students and made them all feel welcome. She answered questions with a smile. She is dependable and honest. Her work-based learning site had nothing but wonderful comments about her. She has a quiet yet exuberant zest for learning and leadership. She is devoted to improving her own abilities as well as committing to something greater. In her dorm, she has always been impressive. She is intelligent and focused. She has a great smile and a personality that brightens your day. She succeeds at every goal she sets for herself, running for dorm council, applying and getting accepted to college, representing Tongue Point at the Washington, D.C. MTC Leadership Conference. She is the kind of student who makes staff realize how important Job Corps is by the limitless possibilities she dreams, acts upon, and succeeds at. She gives staff and students hope because she unintentionally acts as a role model by consistently pursuing the best for herself and everything around her. She is an amazing role model and a true leader. An employer would be so lucky to have her on their team. It is with great pride and respect that we recognize Ellie Johnson as our Student of the Month for March 2011. And I know I said this at the last program, but I just wanted to say that I am proud, say it again, I am proud to have Ellie as my roommate.
thank you, Coco. This student arrived at Tongue Point Job Corps Center on August 11th, 2009, and began training in culinary arts. Upon completion, he enrolled at Clatsop Community College through the Advanced Career Training Program. He earned his GED in July 2010. He is a personable, reliable, and industrious person who also happens to be a great worker with culinary talent and quality skills. It is a pleasure to work with him. At his work-based learning site, he had a wonderful attitude, combined with excellent interpersonal and customer service skills. He has a desire to achieve success, which drives him to reach his goals. He has many great qualities: professional, employable, respectful, and mindful. By attending college, he fully immerses himself in a new, self-directed, and interactive life. In his dorm, he continuously models the career success standards and is a great role model for his peers. He is reliable and completes tasks on time with excellent quality. He is always willing to help out with extra tasks in the dorm. He is cheerful, friendly, and gets along well with staff and fellow students, and is well respected. He has served as a rec tech for over a year and has worked up to a position as rec tech supervisor. He is dedicated to doing a good job and doing it right. He has a positive, friendly attitude and is willing to help out whenever he sees it is needed. He has the ability to achieve what he dreams. We know he has skills to succeed. It is with great pride and respect that we recognize Matthew Miller as our Student of the Month for March 2011.
Thank you both. We are really proud of our students. Coco has a story on diversity.
Being a student at Tongue Point has provided me with a great deal of opportunities to get involved in the community. Last month, I had the privilege of attending the Clatsop County Diversity Committee meeting, where I recounted an incident that took place on the bus involving Job Corps students. Job Corps has received a lot of positive feedback from the community in regards to this matter, so I'd like to thank you all for your support. Since the meeting, I have been continuously commended for my stand against racism. However, I feel it is appropriate to acknowledge those of you who have done the same. While everyone has been preparing for the bicentennial, I know it's not fun to discuss the darker side of Astoria's history. However, during a time of celebration to honor the last 200 years of success, you have put forth efforts to re-examine the past in hopes to discover necessary improvements for the future. I applaud you for allowing yourselves to revisit community challenges regarding racist, sexist, gender, gay rights, and other types of attitudes, and planning strategies to resolve these social climate issues. In the 18 months I've lived at Tongue Point, the one thing I've learned about this town is that it's just one big happy family. Whether you're a senator, mayor, neighbor, close friend, or a Job Corps student, everyone is supportive of each other. The town uniting in support of positive changes. That, to me, is the true beauty of Astoria and what will continue to make history. For 46 of these 200 years, Tongue Point Job Corps Center has been a part of this community and provided education for thousands of students, including myself. On behalf of my peers, I would like to thank you for kindly sharing your beautiful Astoria with us.
Thank you, Coco. We now have unsung staff heroes with Sherelle and Caleb.
Unsung hero David Uletz. On March 13, 2011, a student was experienced a severe case of hives. You referenced the SMGs and confirmed the residential staff members' assessment and treatment plan of 50 milligrams of Benadryl. You waited with the student in the RA office, monitoring his status for nearly an hour. Your demeanor and professionalism were calming to the staff, but more importantly, the student. When the student was stable enough to return to his room, you took it upon yourself to prepare a meal for him. He had missed dinner and happily devoured the sandwiches and munchies you prepared. Thank you, Security Officer David Ouellette, for going above and beyond the call of duty.
Daryl McKnight, you are wonderful at going above and beyond with your students and with staff. We appreciate your willingness to always help or do whatever is necessary to get the best results for the center. You care that your students receive a quality education throughout their time here, and you teach them a lot more than just how to cook on a boat. They are learning teamwork, compassion, and helping their fellow man. You are great at saying please and thank you to everyone and making sure people you are talking to know they are appreciated and valued. Thank you for showing such a great modeling of employable behavior. You are a wonderful example for our students.
Thank you both. Coco now has some Res 4 updates for us.
Last Thursday, Dorm Council hosted a party for Residents 4 to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Around dinner time, everyone gathered in the dorm lobby to eat chicken, steak, and potatoes. Ice cream was served later on, and of course, was the most popular. Students volunteered to assist the dorm council members set up, cook on the grill, in the kitchen, and clean when it was all over. Dorm Council has also begun a new Saturday morning tradition. Res 4 students have been jumping out of bed at 6 a.m. to kick it old school while they watch their favorite childhood cartoons. The students are involved in the selection process. However, dorm council members ask that everyone submit the request in advance. Recently, dorm council has also provided a pancake breakfast and various kinds of cereal.
Sounds like a lot of fun. I think that would be some motivation to move to Residence 4 for people who aren't already living there. Or maybe you just don't want to share pancakes. I don't know.
Pancakes are always good. I would go to Res 4 if I was there. Pancakes.
Thank you, Coco. We now have some additional interviews from the intramurals.
So I'm here with one of the championship winners of the Res 4 basketball team, Zach Hobson. Okay, so Zach, I know that you have had a few things that you've been working on throughout the season. So what do you think you've improved on?
Personally, I think I've been working a lot on defense. We have a lot of good shooters on the team, but we needed to step up our defense. So I buckled down and took it upon myself to improve my defense.
And that was actually one of the things I was going to mention, is your defense has definitely improved. Another thing that you've improved on is your shots. I actually took down some notes earlier in the season saying, you know, Zach, work on your three-pointers, work on your three-pointers, work on your three-pointers. And today, as a matter of fact, tonight, we were actually behind throughout the whole first half, almost. And your three-pointer actually took us to a tie of 16-16. So were you proud of yourself for that?
Yes, I was. We were down by three, and my teammate passed it to me, and all I could see was that three going in, and after that, you know, just felt really good looking up at that score and seeing that it was 16-16, and I think that was the turning point in the game to get us all motivated and to take us to our victory.
What does winning mean to you?
Winning is, for me, is, you know, not necessarily having the all-out win, you know, who has the most points, but working together and having fun as a team and just going out and having a great time. And, you know, as long as we improve from the last time we played and as long as, you know, we just have fun. But tonight was, you know, it all came together and we came out with the overall win and it felt really great.
Yeah, you guys played a really good game tonight. You guys all work really well together and you're definitely an asset to the team. So congratulations. So I'm here with Lawrence Dalton. He's also a team member. So Lawrence, something that I noticed about you throughout the season is you are extremely tall and you've definitely used that to your advantage on the court. You've had some amazing defense. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, it's really easy. Our coach, or our team captain Zach, and our coach were telling me how to push people around and throw my weight into it. So it's pretty easy to block people out and get the rebounds. That's pretty much my defense.
Why don't you explain how you feel you've been an asset to the team?
Pretty much it's in the rebounds. I'm the tall guy at the bottom, so I get the rebounds against the other team and when our team misses. And it's all about getting the ball back up again, taking the fouls for the free throws.
So what does it feel like to win?
It's all warm and fuzzy on the inside, like a nice, moist chocolate cake that just got done baking.
Is there anything that you like to say to your team or to the public?
I'd like to say thanks for Ola. He helped us out a lot before he got sent off for work base. And like I said, Zach pushed us a lot during practice so that we get our game up. And we won the championship because of it. We had a good team this year.
Definitely had a good team. Thanks, Lawrence.
You're welcome.
I'm here with Kenny Jones. He has definitely improved and progressed throughout the season. I think he has shined a lot more recently, the last, I want to say, 2-3 games. He stuck out amazingly, done an amazing job, scored a lot of points, been extremely aggressive, and made everybody proud. So I want to ask you, Kenny, where does all your talent come from?
I don't know. Hard work and hard practice. Just Buck and Zach Canaveros just shining us, working us hard. That's about it.
I was informed that you did some basketball in high school. Is that correct?
Yes, a little bit.
Do you think all that practice has, you know, helped you be an asset to the team?
Yes, I have previous experience because I was the captain of my basketball team on the varsity, so kind of transferred over quite a bit.
Quite a bit. Yeah, you did an amazing job. So you were one of the few who actually know your stats as of tonight. So what are some of the accomplishments from tonight's game?
I had 23 points, 11 and 12 from the free throw line, which drastically improved from my 55% shooting-wise over the course of the season, so that was help. And we only won by a couple points, so free throws were really key, and got fouled a lot, so it was good.
You did. You definitely got fouled a lot, actually. I wrote in my notes. You got fouled at one point. You missed the first shot, but you gained the second, and immediately got the rebound, and immediately got fouled right after that, and then shot two more points, made them, and the rest of the night it was just continuous. Every foul was right on you. So why do you think everybody was out for you, and if so, why do you think so?
No, I don't think anybody was out for me. I was just trying to step up my game. I have to make some shots to win the game, you know. Just win. That's all that matters. It's no team sports. It's just an eye.
Oh, you're so humble. All the players so far have been really humble, everyone that I've talked with. So I guess my final question for you, Kenny, is what does it feel like to win?
It feels amazing. Bring that trophy over here, you know. Got to throw it over my head. Just exciting. Good times.
Well, I appreciate you guys taking your time out to talk with me. I'm very proud of all you guys, especially being part of Res 4 and watching how everybody has, you know, progressed and, you know, worked really hard to win the championship game. And I guess, is there anything else that you, Kenny, would like to say?
Yes, I'd like to say thank you to all my teammates and coaches, and go Res 4!
Everyone was excited to do the interviews for the radio and is listening in on tonight's show.
Thank you, Coco. Next up, we have volleyball intramural, so hopefully we'll have some good dorm versus dorm action there and some good reporting.
Ellie, I think you're going to take that one, right?
I don't know. I hope not.
Way to delegate, Coco. Good job. We have good news for the month of February. Two of our students earned their high school diplomas, 10 earned their GEDs, 14 students received their driver permits, and 17 students earned their driver's licenses. Congratulations for all their hard work, and it paid off. So there you have it, the March 2011 edition of This is Job Corps, a monthly radio magazine about Job Corps in general and the Tongue Point Job Corps Center in particular. Job Corps has been around for 45 years now, 45 years of helping young people. Thank you to our student reporters Nicole Rahanek, Ellie Johnson, Sherelle Briggs, Caleb Philbin, and Jordan Gallagher. Thank you to Terry Wilson, co-producer of this program, and Tongue Point Business and Community Liaison Tita Montero. We are in our seventh year of This is Job Corps. Thanks to everyone for making this show such a success. Thank you to the staff and students of the Tongue Point Job Corps Center and to the local businesses and citizens for their help and support with this program. It is our hope that through this program, everyone has become aware of how very important the Job Corps concept is to all of us locally and nationwide. In 46 years, Job Corps has helped more than 3 million young men and women gain the education, training, and social skills they need to become responsible, contributing members of society. Job Corps, 3 million careers, one future at a time. Job Corps, where success lasts a lifetime. Job Corps, the bridge to success. Thank you for listening tonight. This is Job Corps can now be heard at any time by going to coastradio.org, click the On Demand button, and select the program. On behalf of Tongue Point Job Corps Center, I'm Tamara Walker for KMUN and KTCB. We will be back in April for our next edition of This is Job Corps. See you then. Good night.